Hey guys, this is Erin. I play Finn, the Firbolg Grave Cleric. Let's get into part two of this week's episode of Roleplay Replay.
So as Leosin looks at the tome you just handed him, Guy.
Yes.
He flips through it and he says, "Listen, I don't read Draconic, but the symbols, the iconography, it's unmistakable. I mean, this is a copy. If it were real, I mean, we'd be dead when we touched it. But it's definitely a copy."
Well, I'm glad I'm not dead. I do read Draconic, if you want me to tell you anything.
The book is like this thick.
Really thick.
Yeah, it's big. He says, "I mean, I really don't think we've got time. If you're concerned about Ernest, you need to head back down there and get your man out and see what you can find about those eggs for me." And he holds the tome back out to you and he says, "This will probably come in handy if you can read it."
I take it back from him and I look at Falmar and I say, "I definitely can read it."
I suggest that you do.
Okay.
The governor steps forward. You look over at Escobar. Escobar has like a 1,000-yard stare. To be honest, you can't really even be sure if he's awake or not. But his eyes are open. He's just not moving at all. The governor stands up and walks toward Leosin and he says, "I'm sorry for what you've had to go through. That must have been horrible. Of course, you can take some leave here. You can relax, recover your strength. We can give you a horse to help you get to Eltrell faster. Thank you for what you have done." And he looks at all of you and he says, "Thank you. I truly cannot express how grateful we are. If you can bring Ernest, if you mean to go and retrieve him..."
"We do."
"I would never ask it, but it would be wonderful if you could."
So I've been leaning back against the wall this whole time, just watching, trying to gauge the interaction between Leosin and the rest of the group. And I'm going to stand forward a little bit, kind of like my arms were crossed. And so I step forward and just say, "Look, Reek, I know the rest of you a lot shorter than I've known you, Reek. You care about a lot of people. We're going to get Ernest back, but there's a lot of other people who need us too. And they need you more than you know. You're a lot more than that green that you've got on your skin. I'm starting to see it more and more."
"Maybe you can help me understand, because I'm pretty lost. But yeah, I say we start by going and getting Ernest, and then whatever you guys need. Let's figure it out."
"We need to take care of those dragon eggs first. Or not first, but as soon as we take care of Ernest, we got to take care of those dragon eggs, because other towns are going to be dealing with the same type of devastation if we don't."
"DM, what time is it?"
At this point, it is between 8 and 9 o'clock. Falmar, you need to go cycle your billet soon.
I'm going to turn to Oz, Finn, and Reek, and I'm going to say, "I know you want to get going, but it'll be your turn to be passing out on the middle of the road if you don't get some sleep."
"You know, I think we should all just take a sleep so we all end up on the same cycle, maybe."
"Yeah.
It's a good idea."
Just to be clear,
there's a moment of panic in my eyes as I realize that I need to go take care of that metal.
Yeah.
So there's this moment of, "Oh shit," and Falmar just takes off.
Okay. So just to be real clear, I meant to let you guys know, you know, there's a rule about you can only receive the benefits of a long rest once every 24 hours. But the exhaustion rules, it doesn't say you must long rest. It says you must sleep. So, like, those of you, if you're worried about getting on the same sleep cycle, even if you just had a long rest, you can still just go back to bed.
Correct. It's,
okay, it's no good. Because I was worried about that for, like, a week.
Yeah, no, it's no big deal.
Guy says, I mean, I feel pretty good, but I can always sleep more.
We, I reserved us all a bed at the inn, so there's nobody else staying there, but we do have beds reserved for tonight.
The guy chimes in and says, well, I just had a couch. I haven't had a bed in a couple of years.
Aww.
Well, it's different.
Well, there's a bed calling your name over there.
All right.
Reek, as you approach Escobar, you see him sort of shake. His face clears and he looks up at you and he says, aye.
Do you have any more of those horses? A couple for us to spare so we can get back quickly?
We've definitely got horses. Sorry, I was just thinking about my brother's kids. They really love the toys Ernest makes.
I hear this. Do I hear this? Is this private?
I mean, they're not whispering or anything. You're in the same room, so...
I turn my head when I hear the word toys.
That clockmaker, he's really got a knack for making children smile.
I'm going to reach into my pack and dig around for a second and pull out the toys that I got off that table. And I'm going to kind of walk over toward Reek and Red, and I'm going to say, did he make these toys?
So looking at those toys, they are dolls. They're not necessary. Like, one of them is pretty ratty. The others are kind of nice, but Escobar, he takes them from you and he says, oh love, no. He makes toys that, if you didn't know any better, you'd say they were magic. Cogs and gears and springs.
And then I would say, oh, okay, I got you. Because I understand that kind of stuff.
He looks at you, Reek, and he says, if you can bring that wee one back, I think of two children that will certainly thank you for it.
We'll bring him back. And if you can help us with horses, that would be great. I think the plan right now is possibly to leave in the middle of night after we get some rest.
Well, just tell me where you want them, and they'll be there.
Outside the inn, please.
Six horses, five horses. Can you, he looks at you, Mir, can you handle an animal on your own?
No.
Five it is.
Falmar, can you handle an animal on your own?
I'm not there anymore. You saw me go, oh shit, and like dart out of the room.
He ran outside again to get his medal. So
can I rephrase? Well, we'll have to, sure. We'll say five. We might, I don't know if Falmar knows how to handle animals, but.
A guy is going to look at Mir and he's going to say, you can ride with me. I'm plenty competent enough with a horse that I should be able to handle an extra on my steed, if you want.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I have never ridden a horse. I've ridden Oz, but that's a little different.
Whoa!
Not like that.
Did Mir say that publicly?
Yeah, she sure did.
Guy looks wide-eyed and said, "Well," and says, "Well, this will be different than that."
No.
Okay, so, so Leosin sort of dusts his hands off. He walks up to Eureka and he says, "Listen, mate, I'm not trying to overwhelm you. I guess I just thought you lot were in this for the long run, and you know, it's a matter of putting the pieces together. None of us sees the whole picture yet.
Yeah, but I didn't even know that there was a picture.
He kind of smacks you on the shoulder. He says, "And that's the first step."
Well, maybe my friend Falmar can help me to see a little better.
You know, I can tell that you all come from really different places, like physical places, but, you know, these places are really different for all of you, too. I don't know if Falmar's told you, but I pretty much taught him everything I know. And sometimes I think he really needs to remember the most important thing I ever told him. The Harpers have a code, see? And one of our key principles, without a past, no being can appreciate what they have or where they may be going. So don't forget who you are. And keep an eye out for, you know, who you want to be. Make sure he doesn't just walk on by.
You're pretty wise.
Whoa.
That's the first time anyone said that to me, mate. But I do like that one. And maybe one day Falmar will fill you in on who he wants to be, and maybe even who he was. Who knows? That's not my story to tell, though. Anyway, sounds like your friend knows where we can get a bed or something, so I could really go for that. He, like, pops off a boot, and he, like, pops the heel off the boot, and he dumps this little bag, and he's like, "Fuck, I hope I can get a place to sleep for, like, 6 gold or something. This is a small town, right? Like, I don't have much." He had, like, a secret coin purse in his boot.
Do I see this?
I don't know. I mean, you're in the room, so probably.
Okay.
Who are you talking to, Mir or Finn?
Mir asked if she sees it. Finn, what did you say?
I asked if I heard what he said.
Yeah, at the end there, after he started stretching, yeah. I don't think anybody else heard the conversation with Reek.
There's nobody staying at the inn. I reserved rooms for, all of us. I didn't think about you. I should have, but I didn't. So there's definitely room for you. Just come with us and reserve your room when we get there. It'll be no big deal. They even are going to have dinner. Hot, fresh food.
I'm going to dig around one of my little pockets, and I'm going to pull out like a little tiny bag with maybe like 10 gold in it, and I'm going to hand it to him.
Okay.
Just so that he's not poor, because I feel really bad.
He takes it from me. He says, "I mean, I'm not without resources, but I really appreciate this. I'll pay you back. How about that?"
Cool. And I leave.
I'll owe you one, and you can ask Falmar. I always pay my debt.
Guy looks at Finn and says, wait. Did you say hot food?
Yes. Hot and fresh.
Why are we still standing around here?
Let's go.
All right. Okay. So you guys want to make your way to the inn?
So, yes.
Okay.
Question mark. As we do, I want to ask anybody if they've seen Roz.
Okay.
Did we all hear him say his name? I can't remember if that was a private thing or like that was just a conversation that happened with Finn, or if we all heard him say his name.
I think everybody's aware of what his name is.
Yes. Okay.
And as you kind of ask around, are you asking the group Finn, or are you asking like people along the way?
I'm asking the group as we make our way towards the inn.
Okay. So Finn is asking if any of you have seen Roz. Everybody make a history check.
Guy rolls another natural one.
I swear.
21 for Oz.
Nice.
14 for Reek.
19 for Mia.
Okay. Oz, You can remember seeing this man right up until Britta went to her home, wherever that is. You guys were in the middle of town. You remember seeing him. And then you were so consumed with getting Mir to where she needed to be, you have no memory of seeing him after that.
I say that.
Well, that's... I only remember him after Pear left. So that's something. I just don't... Where would he have gone? He's not from Greenest. Like, where's this stranger?
Maybe he went to the inn to get a room.
I mean, maybe, but like, I was there earlier and there was nobody there except the workers, and they said nobody was staying there except for, well, us now.
Well, let's go see. All
right.
Okay. So you guys head up from the keep back up to the inn.
I'm still in the forge unless somebody came to get me.
I came and got you.
Yeah, I would have come and got you.
All right, just checking.
Yeah, Falmar, the metal, you can totally just leave it overnight. Just sitting there.
Not in the forge, obviously.
Right, like you had it close to the forge. That's how thermal cycling works, right? So you just kind of pull it out and set it on the... in the coals, but far from the heat, to let it cool down overnight. So, as you guys come to the inn, you see that there's a lot of wreckage, but they've already like erected like a canvas wall along the front, and the tarp extends up onto the roof and fairly closes it up.
Guy kind of has a weird... He speaks up a little bit, and he kind of has, like, chills almost. It's weird. It's weird being back here. Last time we were here was... It wasn't good.
I just think you haven't had enough ale.
I don't have any left. I spilled all of it when you threw me that sending stone.
When Oz hears this, he takes the ale skin that Guy gave him a while back in the keep, and he uncorks it and just kind of sniffs at it and hands it to Guy.
Mir goes into the building.
Okay. Mir heads inside. Mir, you head inside, you look around, you see... As you make your way inside, this woman runs around behind the bar, and she smiles and she says, "Welcome, welcome to the stopover. It's so good to have you. Can I pour you a drink?"
Yeah. Can I please have, if you have it, some milk?
Yeah, we can do that. We can do that. And she steps out this back door really quickly. She's gone for maybe a minute, and then she comes back inside, and she's got like a clay jug and a glass, and she pours you milk. "What can I get for the rest of you? Welcome. It's good to see your faces."
Before going inside, Guy takes the ale skin from Oz and says, "Oh man, well, those are the benefits of compound interest. I had no ale and now I have some. Thanks, man."
All of you are struck when you go inside, even though there's like this canvas tarp on the roof. I mean, there's like a warmth, and you smell like just beef stew, basically, as soon as you step inside. Just the smell of like just delicious home cooking. And this gentleman walks up and he kind of stands behind you while you're at the bar. He says, he puts a hand on Falmar's shoulder and he puts a hand on the bar by Mir. He doesn't touch you, Mir, because you're so small. But he just kind of stands behind you. Falmar, he grips your shoulder, not in a weird way, in a vulnerable way, maybe. And he says, obviously, these are strange times. You are our only guest. We are at your service. Please don't hesitate to ask for whatever you need. And you see Laosin, he sort of heads inside and sits down at the long table where Reek and Oz are currently sitting. And he just looks over at the bar. Falmar, he kind of smiles at you and he says, maybe bring me one, mate, if you come over this way.
Make it two.
He looks at you and nods.
So I'm going to look at the barkeep and just hold up four fingers.
Okay. She will turn behind the bar and there's a barrel hanging on the wall. And she'll turn and just start filling mugs with ale from the barrel.
Guy sees her doing this and gets excited and says, excuse me. And he hands out the one empty ale skin that he has that he dropped on the ground and is now currently empty. And he hands it out to her and says, oh, if you could fill this too while you have, when you get done with those mugs, if you could fill this one too, that would be great.
She looks over and she says, That'll be just a bit extra, but sure. I mean, I can, yeah, I'll chop that off for you. No problem.
Thank you. It's worth it.
I'm going to walk back over to the table and sit down next to Reek because it's an open spot. Pass a mug over to Laosin across from me. Set one down in front of myself and two in front of Reek.
Put my arm around him. Squeeze him. Nod my head. And cheers.
As you guys sit at the table, a couple more people come inside. Just commoners. They head over to the bar, sit down. It's reassuring. It's, you know, a sign of some sort of normalcy. These people have seen the lights on in the tavern and they've come over for a drink.
Have all of the mugs been filled with ale at this point?
Yes, she is working on the ale skin for you at this point. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
When she brings Guy his ale skin, I would like to ask her for something a little bit stronger.
Ooh!
I can do that. And she heads over to one side of the bar, kind of slides a cabinet door open and pulls a couple of bottles out. She says, well, not to be tacky, but we've got the good stuff and we've got the good stuff. Which one would you like?
Just do the good stuff.
Okay. And so she pops the stopper out of it and she puts a short glass. It's like a pewter glass. Puts it in front of you and puts the bottle in front of you.
Guy's going to put a finger up and says, Yeah, one more, please.
One more ale or one more?
The same as the lady.
Ah, and she says, of course. And she reaches over and puts another little pewter cup in front of you. Okay. So, anybody talking about anything in particular that you want to, like, sort of hash out?
Not really for me.
All right. After about a half an hour or so, go ahead, Falmar, go ahead.
I imagine we would probably start at least discussing plans for getting into the camp so that we, like, how are we going to get in? How are we going to get Ernest out and into safety? And then once we know he's safe, like maybe in that bivouac or something, how are we going to make our way into the cave unnoticed and all of that crazy shit?
Is Finn still sitting at the bar?
Yeah.
Yeah. Her token is there.
I'm guessing that this doesn't take long to drink whatever this stronger drink is, if it's in a small...
Yeah, it's a shot. Cup. I mean, it's a shot. It's a ball glass. You know?
Guy's going to nudge Finn when he kind of hears Falmar making these comments and say, let's go join them.
Falmar makes the comments, I'm going to put my arm around him and say, in time, let's wait for everybody to get here, maybe over some hot chow.
I start writing in the journal. in my journal.
Okay. So as everyone kind of makes their way over, about 10 or 15 minutes later, a woman comes out of the kitchen with a nice, like, copper pot, and she's got a pile of towels over one shoulder. She walks over to the table and she kind of leans in. She looks at you, Oz, as you sort of sit there almost at the head of the table. She says, "Would you mind, love, just grab those, just put them on the table for me."
I grab them and I set them on the table.
She sets the copper pot down, and as you look in, there's just this pot of parsnips and carrots and potatoes and sage and beef and gravy and just, oh my gosh, it's just manna from heaven in pot roast form. Oh. She says, "Well,
do you have a bigger bowl?"
She looks at you. She says, "You know, I'll bring another pot out. I made this just for you, so there's plenty. There's going to be leftovers, but I'll bring another pot."
"Thank you. This smells delicious."
She heads back into the kitchen. And then there's enough in this pot that everybody can get a serving. And she's going to be a few minutes before she comes back out. So what would you guys like to do?
Are we all sitting around the table now? We're all sitting around the table?
Yeah.
I'll say this before we move on to talking about strategy, that Reek places a napkin to the right of the bowl and then a spoon on top and another napkin underneath the bowl. Yeah. He kind of gets set up before eating.
Okay.
I'm gonna turn as he's doing this. "Reek, how are you so full of anger and rage and just total barbarianism, and yet at the same time have manners? And I just don't get it. I don't get you." And that's all he's gonna say, kind of trailing off and not necessarily looking for a response.
Guy like pipes up, like snarls, like, "What, you think half orcs can't have manners?"
All right, so as you guys sort of just tuck into your food and make small talk, you notice actually another like handful of people or so come in, and the bar is actually kind of not crowded, but there's people at the bar. I'm going to just go ahead and drop them in. There's people at the bar hanging out. Nobody is like boisterous. And there's more than four. It's just, I'm just doing that for representation on our map here. Nobody's boisterous. Everybody's kind of subdued, but
do we recognize any of them?
Not at this point. Nobody you've ever seen before. But as you guys sort of tuck in and the woman comes back out of the kitchen, Finn, you know her name is Leslie. She comes in, and this time she comes around the table. She comes right next to you and she says, "Same drill, love. Come on. I need you to take these towels and put them on the table."
"I do."
And she puts another gorgeous copper pot of stew down and she says, "Just let me know if you need me to keep it coming." And she heads back into the kitchen. And as she makes her way back into the kitchen, let's see. Mir and Oz, probably. You two would notice someone come in that you do recognize. Britta walks into the inn and she kind of looks at your group. She looks over. She just kind of looks at all of you. Oz and Mir, make perception checks.
It's 15 for Oz.
Okay. Okay, you both rolled 15s. And you both notice she sort of looks and she sees that you guys see her, and she gives each of you like a little bit of a small smile. Her gaze falling on everyone in the group. She looks at Leosin for a moment and nods. They spent, you know, some time together as they were escaping. And you both notice that her gaze seems to linger on Reek for a moment before she finally comes in, and she just actually sits in the corner over here and pulls up a book And soon a man comes out of the kitchen and comes over and speaks to her, takes an order, and heads back into the kitchen.
I'm going to turn to Reek, and because I would have noticed her looking at him. And I'm like, I saw you guys were talking. Would you mind maybe going and asking her if she could tell you anything about the tents, anything like that? Layout of the camp that she could recall.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like our conversation went well.
I'm sorry. She just seemed like she was looking at you just now.
She was looking at me?
Yeah. I just misunderstood maybe that you guys had spoken and maybe were...
Maybe you could come with me.
Okay. I'm going to feel a little bit nervous just because I recall... Yeah, sure, I'll come with you. Hoping that she doesn't know that I've sicked 3 drunk guards on her. Or was it Guy? It was Guy.
Yeah, Guy did. Yeah.
Okay, good. Feel a little bit.
I'll wipe my mouth and say, excuse me, to the table and stand up.
I do no such thing, and I just get down and walk away.
I'm going to follow Mir towards Britta.
Okay.
Are we all tuned in enough to notice Reek and Mir getting up?
You definitely see Reek and Mir getting up, yeah. And if you kind of look around, Guy, I think you would definitely recognize Britta.
I'm sitting next to on this little cushion here, not on the table, but I can't make it do it.
That's fine. I can do it.
And I'm going to say, excuse me.
This is on the table.
Nice. I'm going to say, excuse me, I'm really sorry to... I know that this isn't really pleasant to think about, but I was hoping I could bug you and ask you a few questions.
She looks at you, she says, you're not bugging me. I came here because they said you all were here.
Well, come on, Reed, come sit down. Sorry.
Looking at Britta...
I didn't expect there to be so many people here.
Looking at Britta, may I?
She looks at you and in a very relaxed way, she sort of smiles a little and she just says, yes, you may.
I'm going to pointedly look at him and be like, look, bitch, see, I told you. Anyway, so I'm going to look back at her and I'm going to say, so I don't know exactly how long that you are in the camp itself, but if there's any information that you can tell us about the tents, where they keep things, anything like that, the any noticing of when they change guard, I would be very grateful if you could tell us, because we want to go back for Ernest.
She looks at you and she says, she sort of scoots forward in the chair. She's sitting in this big, you've seen the kind of chair. It's a big leather chair that where the leather is like so old, it's like almost shiny and hard, right? And she's not a big person. I mean, she's a full grown woman, but this chair is, it's big enough for like 2.5 of her. And she slides forward in it and she kind of leans on the table and she leans in towards you and she says, you know, no one blames you lot for not bringing Ernest back.
I mean, I do. Sorry.
None of us have ever thought about the big, wide, scary world out there. Like, the idea that we would be taken away from our homes by fanatics? Like, what is that even? That's a nightmare. That's a dream. That's not real. Look, I wasn't in the camp that long. I was only there for a matter of hours before you came and set me free. But in that time, in that matter of hours, I had to come to terms with
the reality that I might never leave.
I look at her directly in the face and say, I understand exactly what you're saying.
So, look, I don't know how helpful I can be. When we arrived, the camp was already established. The tents were up. There were guards. When we arrived in the daylight, there were guards at the opening to the horseshoe, I guess we could call it a horseshoe. There were guards. There was that guard tower. Oh, God, those men were just so awful.
Mira's face is going to turn beet red, and she's going to be like, keep going, keep going.
I've never seen such filthy laundry. In a matter of hours, I was traumatized. It was awful.
Okay, so details matter. They always do. Where's the laundry? Where's in relation to the guard towers? Where are any prisoners' tents other than your own that you can recall? If you noticed anybody was like loading up supplies, which one was that? If you noticed, please. And I'm sorry if I'm putting myself too forward and asking too many questions.
I'll try. I mean,
I appreciate it.
She glances at you, Reek, with like, it's not a smile. A smile is the wrong facial gesture. But soft eyes, not hard eyes. Glances at you and she says, "So, you've a friend over there." And she points in the direction of the table where everyone's wolfing down the pot roast that, frankly, Reek, I'm pretty sure your stomach is calling you back toward, even in this time. But she gestures in that direction. She says, your elven friend, the one with the staff. I spoke to him earlier in the night while I was doing my chores, running the laundry, running the water back and forth. Spoke with him, and he saw me carrying the water, and that was the area where they had me working, the north side of the horseshoe. Truly, I cannot tell you if there was another tent where there might have been more prisoners. We all slept in that tent. I didn't sleep. I wasn't there long enough to sleep. You rescued me before I had to sleep. But we were told that we were all going to sleep there. And the next thing I know, your friend, the badger, he comes up out of the ground. What? This is insane.
He does that from time to time. I understand. Okay, so the water is kept on the north side. That's the only prisoner tent that you knew of. The guards are positioned in the front. Is there any supplies that you could think of they made you go get to wash the stuff? I mean, I know that sounds stupid, but like, I'm seriously trying to find out where they're keeping stuff. Just so I know where things are, where I could use things.
The brief amount of time that I was in the camp, I did not see any supplies being run. I did not see anything like that. I'm sorry.
No worries. Thank you very much for your time. And I'm like writing things down as I'm talking to her as well. So I'm a little distracted, just like taking notes in general. And then I'll be like, okay, I'm going to go maybe look, wait around to see if anybody else came that maybe might have had a different job than you. So thank you for your time. And then I'm going to walk over to the table and I'm going to nudge Falmar and say, give me Reek's bowl.
I pick it up, look at wide-eyed and hand it to her.
And then I'm going to carry it back over to Reek and hand it to him. And then I'm going to leave again.
Well, hang on.
I already left.
When Mir leaves,
okay.
I'm going to put my hand on the chair of the arm, not on her, but on the chair of the arm, and try and make eye contact and kind of look her in the eyes and say, "It is a nightmare, and Ernest shouldn't be there." And he deserves to come home too.
She sort of sits back in the chair and crosses one leg, one foot over the other. About that time, the man comes back out of the kitchen and he puts a kettle on this little table in front of you guys. A kettle with two cups. And he heads back into the kitchen.
How loud is the conversation that they're having?
You can't hear it from where you are.
Okay.
I left because I wanted to give them privacy.
But, about the time that he brings the tea kettle out, Mir comes back with your bowl of chowder or pot roast, I guess. And it looks like Falmar's coming over too. So
I'm just dropping off ale. It's just the ale.
Ale. Okay. So
I'm going to put a finger up to him. 1 second. And say, okay. Her,
all right.
Do you want to join us at our table? I mean, my friends would, I'm sure, love to have your company.
She says, honestly, that might be kind of a lot right now. I suppose I could. I'm not hungry.
And you notice as you look at her, she's clean. She does not look like she looked when you pulled her out of the camp some 8-10 hours ago. She's been home. She looks healthy, happy. Her clothes are not torn. The places where she might have been scratched or cut or dirty, everything's taken care of. And she seems very content. She says, you know, maybe you should just go and have your stew. And if I'm still here and there's anything else you'd like to talk about, then you can come back over and speak to me. But I just wanted to put eyes on all of you and make sure that you were all okay. And I wanted to see for myself that you made it here and that you were going to go and save Ernest and bring him home. I didn't mean to ruin your evening or interrupt your planning.
I'm going to stand up and say, as I kind of stand up, well, you didn't ruin anything. We're happy to see you back in your hometown. And if there's anything you ever need, I'm sure we'll be back. And walk back to the table and like give a dirty look to Falmar. Like
as you get ready to get up and leave, she pours tea into one of the cups and she just holds it up to you.
Well, I'll grab it and
with his third arm.
No, so Reek said that he held a finger up to you guys.
Okay? Oh, okay.
So
it's fine.
So I think maybe Mir brought the stew and left, but I don't think Falmar brought the ale because Reek held up a finger and Falmar would stop.
I don't stop though. Sorry, Reek.
Well, I'll sit back down, and to not belabor the dialogue, I'll probably just ask her about what she does here, and okay.
So whatnot. So she holds the tea up to you, and you sit back down with her.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh. With your stew and your tea.
Just with the tea.
Okay. Okay. So you guys watch, for those of you that are paying attention to what's happening over there, you watch as Reek kind of stands up and there's like this awkward moment, where Britta sits back in the chair, crossing her feet. She seems perfectly at ease. And as Reek starts to walk away, she holds up a cup that she's just filled with tea and he takes it and sits back down.
When Guy sees that happen, he looks at Mir, who I'm assuming has just recently come back to our table.
Mm-hmm.
And is bouncing on the chair because she's so, like, laughing and giddy because she's happy.
He leans across the table towards Mir and says, "How's our boy doing?"
I'm going to give him double thumbs up and be like, "A little hard on the beginning, but we'll see." And then I'm going to interrupt that conversation and just crawl over top of Oz and sit on his lap and say, "Laison, I need you to tell me about the camp," and I'll whip out my journal.
Ah, the guy says, ah, he's always so serious. He's always so serious. And he takes a swig of his ale.
Leosin explains to you the basic layout of the camp, that the, from what he was able to discern in the time that he was there, the human and other sort of like humanoid races of the cultists and guards, they kept their distance from the kobolds. They tended to be completely separate. The kobold tents were all in the southern portion. He says he'd never been into the large tent where Resmir and apparently this supposed possible red wizard were. He'd never been in there, and he'd never been in the cave where you guys tell him Ernest is. Understand, you know, he's operating largely off of information that you all have given him.
As but far he was as, there for 10 days. Like, did he notice any supplies?
So a 10-day in Faerun is a week. A week is 10 days. Okay, whoops. So he was there for 2 weeks. He tells you he did notice people coming and going. Oftentimes they would send out like raiding parties. A few wagons here and there would go out and come back, and it tore at his heart each time to know that they were going out and raiding a village somewhere, but he knew there was only so much he could do, and the best thing that he could do would be to learn as much as he could and take it back to the harbor.
Okay, so we don't know. Like,
he does say that the raiding party that descended upon Greenest was the largest one he'd ever seen. Almost the whole camp left to go to Greenest because it's the largest village they've ever raided.
Leosin, how did they discover that you were a harper?
Thelmar, mate, it's embarrassing. Like, you're never going to let me live it down if I tell you.
Seems like something I ought to know if I'm going back in there just in case I'm captured.
So, let's just say that, look, spare me my dignity, all right? Let's just say I have a tattoo that you've never seen, and none of you lot, and he looks around the table and points a finger and kind of smiles, none of you lot are ever going to see, all right?
Is it on your butt?
But he looks at you, Mir, and he says, but, someone saw it, and,
whoop.
And that was that.
Uh-oh.
Thelmar just starts laughing his ass off.
Guy says, I bet you didn't get a tattoo of a red axe on a really compromising body part that you really regret.
Oh no, do you have one? That's amazing.
He just laughs and he hops up and runs over and grabs an ale from the bar and comes and sits back down. Man, he says, I miss those days when I used to run around with a bunch of friends like this. Don't ever take for granted what you guys have. You're much stronger together than you ever will be apart. And he looks at you, Falmar, as he says that last bit. Don't forget that.
Okay, do we notice anybody else in doing anything interesting, like any of the villagers or anything?
Just people in a bar drinking.
Cool. I feel pretty good. Like, we're pretty good on supplies and stuff. What time is it, DM?
At this point, you're probably pushing 9:30, maybe even 10 o'clock.
Okay, so I'm going to crawl over on all the stools like a six-year-old does. I have a seven-year-old, so I know they do this. And I would be like, Falmar, do you want to get your work from the blacksmith before we go, or do you want to leave it there?
I was planning on trying to continue some work while the rest of you slept for a few hours. And then I'll finish up with a little meditation before we go.
Do you need anything in the way of steel? I have the steel that you gave me, and I also have a bag of 1,000 ball bearings, if you need.
The ball bearings will come in handy. I don't think I need them yet.
Okay, well, if you need them,
do you want to hang on to them?
Person. Yeah, it's fine.
I would like to turn to Leosin and ask him if he reserved a bed for the night.
Yeah, I spoke to them when I went up to grab this, and he holds his ale up.
Okay.
They said they've got plenty of room.
I knew they did, but I just wanted to make sure, just in case one of these stragglers at the bar wanted a room or anything.
Thanks for looking out. Good on you.
Guy asks, do you have enough gold? Do you have enough money?
Yeah, I'll be right, and at least for one night, it's not a problem.
I mean, are you gonna be broke for paying for one night at the inn?
No, of course not. No, it's fine. I'll be fine. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
I remembered something. Do you have a weapon for when you go?
This is gonna sound really cheesy, love, and I promise I don't mean it that way, but look, you guys have run around with Falmar for a while now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I kinda am the weapon.
Okay.
If you know what I mean.
I understand. I was just, you know, checking because I have an extra dagger.
Ah, I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm sure I'll find a stick or something along the way that maybe I want to pick up.
Understood.
That went way better than I thought it was going to.
Reek, are you and Britta talking about anything in particular? You have privacy over in that corner. No one can hear you unless you start to yell.
No, I just would ask her a lot of questions about her upbringing, who her family is, why is she in Greenest, where does she want to go?
Well, she tells you that she's lived in Greenest her whole life. She's never had aspirations really to be anywhere else. Her parents are farmers. They know the Millers very well. She has a cousin who's the farrier. Not really. She says this several times, like she's not really all that exciting. And that the last 24 hours have kind of been the most exciting of her life.
Do you want to stay in Greenest?
I didn't really know that there were other options. I guess maybe the world is a little smaller than I thought.
Yeah, you should dream bigger.
What do you dream about?
I think that gets into something that I don't really like talking about that much.
Kind of has like a flicker of concern across her face amid the pleasant look, and she says, what do you mean? I'm sure that you've seen a lot of things and done a lot of things that might give me nightmares, but what do you mean?
I grab the teacup and I kind of stare into it. Cry a little bit and then get up and walk away. And as I'm walking away, I say, I can't talk about it.
Okay. Where do you go, Reek?
I'm going to go outside.
Okay.
We see him do this and I'm going to cut eyes across and look at Guy and be like, Guy, Falmar.
So Guy doesn't hear any of the actual conversation, but he notices Reek getting up, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Guy's gonna get up.
You guys are definitely paying attention to Reek and Britta, so.
Yeah, so Guy gets up and he's gonna give it a minute, but he's gonna follow him outside after about a minute.
Okay.
I'm going to exchange a glance with Guy at the same time, and when he gets up, I'm going to go too.
Okay.
But before we go, I'm going to say, hey, look, approach him in Orcish, and if he wants to talk to you, I'll leave.
I'll give him, a thumbs up or something like that. Okay. So I walk outside where he is.
Those of you that are inside, you see Breda still sitting in the chair. Since everyone's gone out the door that she would go out of, she doesn't seem to be in any hurry to get up and go outside herself. And she's not stubbed up or melodramatic. She looks a little concerned, and she just sits back in the chair and looks into her tea. So, Guy, what do you do when you get outside?
So I look at Reek and I say, well, I kind of like put my hands on my hips and look a little down, and I say, I don't know what you just said, but I saw you walking away. Oh, and but I'm saying this in Orcish initially, by the way, and I say, are you doing all right? You know, if you want to talk in common, Felmar and I are here for you. I don't know what just happened, but you don't usually walk away from something like that.
In common, we need to get earnest. That's all. We need to get earnest.
Guys, go ahead.
I'm gonna nod at him and say, well, we better get to it. Sooner we go to sleep, I suppose, the sooner we get to him. And I'm gonna recognize that maybe the two of them want to talk and go back inside.
Okay.
I'll talk to Reek in common, and I'll say, well, you know, I don't think you just walk away from a girl like that unless it's really serious. Is there anything else? I mean, we're going to get Ernest. We're going to get him.
Look, Guy, you're literally the first. You're the first of my skin that I've seen. And I don't know. Mind. And I can't talk about this right now. And maybe down the road, when I don't feel this massive pressure to go take care of Ernest, or I don't know, maybe down the road, maybe we can talk about it. But I can't at the moment.
And Guy will reach out and put like one hand on Guy's or on Reek's shoulder, and he'll say, "All right, let's survive this, and we'll chat about it later. But let's get through it, and I'm here for you whenever you need it."
I'm gonna grab his other shoulder. I'm gonna say, "Look, there's probably Brittas everywhere, all right? Probably Brittas enough for all of us. So there's more fish in the sea, if you will. Let's get earnest."
All right. I'll pat him on the arm. I'll be like, "All right, man, let's do it. We'll chat about it later."
So you guys head back inside?
Yes.
But, so as you do and the door comes open, sorry, what was that, Reek?
I was going to say I'm going to make my way up to the room.
As you guys come inside, you notice that Britta is actually standing where you can see when the door opens. Both of you come inside and she just looks at you both. She puts one hand on either of your shoulders and she just says, "Thank you. And I'm sorry." And then she makes her way between you and just leaves.
Guy is going to like slowly turn towards the rest of the table and like look at Mir and make like a kind of awkward face with like his teeth showing, because he knows when he was with Mir and Falmar, the whole thing with the guards in the tower.
Shit. Is it bedtime yet?
So yeah, how are you guys doing this? Who's sleeping where? Finn, have you told them what's available to the room.
Finn, what's going on with the beds, huh?
Yeah, I don't think that conversation's happened yet.
So, this inn is kind of small. There are only 4 single beds, so I reserved us 4 single beds and a double bed. And my intent was that Mir and Oz sleep in the double bed.
Aw, yay!
Yeah. You know, I thought since Oz doesn't really like to be separated from Mir, that y'all could just be together in your own room, and the single beds are all together, so we'll all be pretty close. But yeah,
I'm fine with that.
Sounds good.
So, do you guys need to talk about anything? Do you need to talk about what's happening tomorrow, when you're leaving, what your plans are? Do you need to talk about any of that?
Probably. So I'm going to say we were talking. Oh, Reek's over there. Maybe he can hear me. Hopefully. I'm going to say we were talking to Red, and they will have horses for us probably by now. And I'm going to get down and go and peek outside. Do I see horses, DM?
No. And Red is under the impression that you wanted them in the morning.
Oh, shit.
So...
we need a long rest, so that's
okay.
How that would work.
You weren't planning on leaving now, were you, Mir?
No, Reek wanted to leave in the middle of the night.
Well, I thought we were going to sleep and then very, very early get up was what I was thinking, but I don't know if that's going to work.
I mean, he can have the horses there early, you know.
Sweet. I'm going to go over and tell Falmar to, if he sees Red, to try to tell him that, see if he can't get him there as early as possible. He's going to go back to the thing, remember.
Okay.
And then the horses will come, and then we'll just go once the horses get here.
Okay.
How can... So this has more to do with getting in there. Finn and Oz, the two of you can disguise yourselves. Can you disguise other people?
No, I can only disguise myself.
Do we have disguise kits that we can use to get in there? We have some of those uniforms.
Yeah, I was going to say, Guy knows that we do have at least a few of the... uniforms, but that's all we have. We only had a few pairs of them.
Perhaps there's a store we could buy makeup.
I kind of have a small crazy idea. It just occurred to me. They're collecting people like Ernest, and I'm going to adjust my goggles with my left hand. And I'm I'm kind of like Ernest.
I don't like it.
Nope.
Are you suggesting a cuff the Wookiee scenario sort of thing?
No.
Fake prisoners?
I'm gonna cut everybody off right there and say, look, Leosin said that he's right across from me. Leosin mentioned that he got himself caught on purpose. And sometimes
I'm not gonna get caught. I'm going to volunteer.
Same thing.
No.
And I'm going to look at Oz when he says that, and I'm going to just nod my head.
Oz, this whole time, you've been really, really taken, not by the beef stew, not by Britta, but by the arrangement of the caraway seeds on the rye bread on the table in front of you. You have counted them all. On each loaf. And the bread is very good. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the group while you've taken all this in this evening?
No.
Alright. So,
damn.
You guys watch as Leosin finally stands up and he says, well, I'm not sleeping upstairs with you lot. They told me that I could have the cheap room back by the woodpile, but hey, at least it's close to the head. And he finishes his beer, and he says,
short walk for me. And he says, I'm going to call it a night. I don't know if I'll see you in the morning. I plan on sleeping until I wake up because it's a long ride to El Terrell. He looks around the table, holds each of your eyes for a moment. He says, whatever you decide, whether you decide to join me in this, whatever this is, or if you decide to just be contractors, sell swords, I owe you all my life. And he looks at you, Falmar, and he says, I'm not sure there's much left for me to teach you, kid. Good job. And he just turns around and he heads toward the hallway.
I'm going to catch him before he gets all the way out there.
Okay.
Just to give him a short handshake, one of those like that. Tell him, we'll see you soon.
He says, just remember everything, man. Just remember the code. Just remember these people love you. I can see it.
Godspeed.
May your reach be far. And he goes in the hallway.
Sit back down.
Well, Oz, are you feeling sleepy?
I wouldn't mind sleeping.
Okay, I'll come with you. Do you need anything else, Falmar?
I'm actually going to retire with everyone, and before we all head upstairs, I'm going to say that I plan on only spending a few hours in meditation, and in the morning, before we leave, you'll find me in the forge, finishing up a few things, making some progress. Do any of you need anything tended to? Reek, I saw you sharpening your axe. Looks pretty good, but I'm sure we could make it sharper if you want. And that he says that totally seriously. And he looks at Guy, and he says, do you need anything taken care of?
Guy is going to give like a side glance to Reek. And then he says, no, I think I'm good.
No, Falmar. I'm good. Thank you.
All right.
And then I'm going to head upstairs.
Okay. So the stairs are over here. I will just grab you guys and put you in your rooms really quickly. So here you go, guys. You are all up on the top floor. Finn led the way, followed by Falmar. Finn points out to everyone, this is the room. This door here is the room where the single beds are. And then, Finn, I'm not sure. Did you pay for, like, the big room or just one of the doubles?
This one.
Okay, over here. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So now that door will open, and now this door will open.
Cool.
Mirror and Oz.
There we go.
There you go.
Ooh, there's a cabinet in here. I'm going to open it and look around.
There's some sheets.
It's
and
got a
towels.
Bible in it.
There's some sheets and towels. There's like a wash stand on top of it.
Cool. I'm going to finish writing in my journal, and I'm gonna finish writing my journal. You should sleep.
Elmar, are you going into the room with everybody?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So everybody's in their rooms. You guys. Just going straight to sleep. Anything else?
Yeah. What exactly? It's pretty late at night. Yes.
Yeah. It's 10 ish. Maybe after 10.
I'm guessing there's no light source in the room.
There's a lantern on the post, like outside the room. Once you come into the room, this room is very utilitarian. Finn knows that there are some candles in the like foot lockers at the foot of the bed. You guys could light candles. Otherwise, yeah, it's just dark in here. This room is for sleeping.
Okay. Guys, he's going to set down all of his stuff on the bed where the character token is currently, or next to that bed.
Okay.
And then he's going to head back out into the hallway. And just for a little while, maybe an hour or two, because he's not particularly sleepy after getting that long rest not that long ago, he's going to read out of the
tome of dragon lore for about an hour or two before heading back into the room.
Okay.
To get a little bit of sleep.
Okay. Guy, as you flip through the book, is there anything in particular that you would like to see if you can find, or are you just going to read?
Just going to read. I don't know what I'm looking for. I just know that Laosin seems to think it's something of importance, and based off of what he said, being a reproduction of the original. Just going to read through it.
So as you open the book, there's no like title on the front, right? But as you open it, you see what Laosin must have seen when you first opened it. There's this massive symbol on the first page. And when you got this book in the Sunless Citadel, you kind of got it and you opened it and you looked through it, but you didn't like open it and like go page by page. You were never really super careful with this. As soon as you open it and you get to like the first page, there's this symbol that takes up the whole page. And you recognize you recognize this almost profile. And it looks like the masks that you've seen these cultists wearing. This like sweeping, almost spiky shape. And as you look at it, make a perception check.
Okay. Oh man, terrible rolls tonight. Guy rolls a 5 on his perception.
To you, in this moment, in this light, at this time, it's not real clear what it is, other than that you instantly look at it and you recognize that it is a related shape to these masks that you've seen these people wearing. Could be some sort of odd stylized fire, some sort of symbol that you don't understand, though.
Okay.
But as you look, you know, there is a line of text. That line of text reads as follows. Quotations. Elliptical dot, or ellipse dots, right? It says, "And naught will be left, save shattered thrones with no rulers." Period. "But the dead dragons shall rule the world entire." And then 3 dots and a quotation mark.
I'm assuming, having heard about the dragon liches at this point, does Guy make any connection to that?
Oh yeah, for sure. It's one of those things where, like, when you know you open up a book and there's like almost like a foreword, or like a kind of "this is what you're getting yourself into" kind of a thing.
Sure.
It's the thesis statement, if you will. And as you flip through it some more, with no real goal. It's definitely written from in like one voice. One person is speaking through this tome. Talks a lot about power, a lot about victory and ascension. But you keep going, you go a little further. I mean, you kind of start to get bored, unless you can tell me that you're looking for something specific. About halfway through, you start getting into some really esoteric stuff that you absolutely do not understand.
Yeah, I mean, Guy is... he grew up in the wild and he speaks Draconic and can read, but he's not... Yeah, he's certainly not an academic or anything like that. I think he's just reading this till he gets tired enough to fall asleep and seeing what he can find in that time.
You do... So... Make one more perception check for me.
Sure. It's a 7.
So there are entire pages of this book that you can make no sense of. And not because it's beyond you in terms of subject matter, but because it's like it's written in gibberish.
Okay. So not necessarily in Draconic.
It's in Draconic, but like you recognize that it's in Draconic, but it just doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
Sorry, with that roll,
Sure. Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, Guy reads until probably an hour, hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, until he's tired, and then proceeds into the room and falls asleep with the rest of his friends.
Okay. As Guy makes his way back into the room, Mir continues writing in her journal. Thalmar has, as you come in, Guy, your dark vision lets you see Thalmar has taken a seat in that bed with his back up against the wall in his lotus position and beginning to meditate. Finn is asleep in the bed that she is in, with Mercy asleep atop one of the four posts of the bed. And I think unless anyone else has anything else they would like to do, that's probably where we're going to call it for this week and pick up next week. In Greenest, with our group of intrepid adventurers going to find Ernest.